We talked about first Eov in his in Perek Gimel in his first speech and what happened. Really, Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, where all of a sudden he realizes, listen, I believe there's a God, that God formed and God came into the world, etc. But I don't believe that there's any Ashgacha Pratis. In other words, I don't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me in any individualistic type of way. And that his real line is that, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really have anything to do with me over anybody else? So now Eliphaz gets up and he says, Vayan, Eliphaz Etemani Vayomer. So Eliphaz Etemani got up and he said, now we already said that Eliphaz Etemani is possibly the same Eliphaz who's the son of Esav, right, the one who was the father of Amalek, the one who was there. If so, then we see that he is a bit of a prophecy. There's a nevuah that's mentioned in this parak, which is absolutely amazing, which is crazy to be able to think of. Welcome, Yaakov.
And but, he's really old.
And he's really, really old. Page 1179.
Well, how do we know?
1173. Welcome, Yaakov.
If it happened, we don't know when it happened.
Right, we don't know when it happened. If Eov lived during the times of, let's say, Mitzrayim, when they were in Mitzrayim, he was over 100, but it wasn't like it was crazy. But yes, Einachanami, it's a bit of a kasha when exactly lived, etc. But if this is Elisha, whatever, Eliphaz, then it's very, very possible.
But if Eliphaz a Temani, why would Esav have offspring moving to Yemen?
Temani always meant south. Teman is also a word for south. Right. So that would have been the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is. That would be the idea behind it over here. Now, there may be some hints over here as to how Amalek became the nation that he became. Looking at what Eliphaz says, it's amazing because he definitely does believe in God, but it's possible it's like this. But either way, Eliphaz hears what Eov had to say and said, I can't hold back anymore. For 3 days, possibly 7 days, he had sat there in front of Eov and he had heard, you know, he had sat there silently in front of Eov. He didn't say anything. And he sat there silently, I guess you could say commiserating with his pain, empathetic toward what he, you know, what his issues were. But now he can't handle it anymore. He heard what Eov had to say and he said, I can't. I have to interrupt you. So Eliphaz HaTemani got up and he said, Anisa dover elecha tila. Right? Are you going to object if somebody actually speaks a word to you? Va'atsur b'milin miyuchal. Because to be hold back in words and not say anything anymore, I can't. Who's going to be able to hold back when you're hearing these things from you? I hear what you're saying. I can't hold back anymore. Niyasarta rabim. You have just said some pretty bad things about a lot of people. That's what you basically just did.
Yadayim rafos. Niyasarta rabim mean you've had a lot of yisurin?
Now, Rabim would be more people. Rabba would be Yisarta Rabba. You'd have a lot of Yisurin, right? But Rabim would be other people. So there have been a lot of people that you've taken care of. But I will tell you, by the way, you could probably translate Eve in 150 different ways.
What means you punish
so I don't
a lot
mind
of
it.
People?
Yeah, it's very
you,
possible.
But how did he punish a lot of people? What did he do?
Oh, him himself.
Right.
What he said was that he was sort of like downplaying like certain people and what they did in this world in the last parak. So he's just like, oh, those people don't deserve it, whatever. It's like he did that.
Or the collateral damage of his life.
That's very possible as well. V'yadayim rafos tichazek. You'd strengthen the people with weak hands. What you're basically doing is, he's telling them, you're being tested over here, and what you're doing is you're strengthening the people who are normally weak, who normally can't stand up for themselves, who don't want to say anything, whatever it is. You're saying to them, you're right. Don't try hard because God is out to get you in the first place. He said, come on, that's ridiculous. Now, some say that it's the exact opposite. Eliphaz is telling Eov, and he says, listen, Eov, you were the guy who, just days ago, when bad things would happen to people, you went up to people and you're like, don't worry, God has a plan for you. Don't worry, God has a plan for you. All of a sudden something happens to you and you're hypocritical and you run back and you're like, oh, there is no God. All of a sudden, kol shel yikimun milecha. Now, those people were stumbling, right? They would be lifted up by your words. You would tell them something and they'd listen to you. Birkaim koros to amates. You'd strengthen the people who are buckling at the knees, you know, who are falling down, etc. Kiata tavoy lecha. And now, all of a sudden, that suffering comes to you. Vatele. And you give up hope. You're done. Tiga odecha, you already become weary of what happened to you. Vatibahel, and you're shocked. Halo yoroscha kislasecha. Now this is a weird line over here, but your fear of God was your foolishness. In other words, no one could sway you from that. You had an absolute fear of God that no one was able to go, whatever it is. So we do learn a lesson from over here that you can't understand a person until you have the Yisurin that they have. As if Eov was going up to people and saying, like, oh, you can handle it. When it happened to him, he couldn't handle it anymore. Clearly something was up. But Kisla Secha, you had an unmovable position. It was almost like you were a fool. No matter what anybody told you, I'll prove to you there's no God. You'd be like, nope, there's absolutely a God. That was your absolute over there. Tikvascha, it was your hope, Vitom Dvarchecha, and it was the perfection of your ways. It was the reason for everything you did. That's what you did in your life. You went around and you acted with one mind. There is a God and I should serve him in some way, shape, or form. Zechor nam yunak yavad. And therefore, Eliphaz said to him, I want you to remember, this is what you told other people. Who is innocent and has then been destroyed? Eifo Yisharim Nechadu. Where do we see that people that are Yasher, that have been perfect in so many different ways in life, have all of a sudden lost everything they've gotten? Have you ever seen that before? Come on, Eiv. You know that you must have done something wrong. Kashori Isi.
How bad could you have done?
That's going to be Eov's line. Eov's line back is, I don't think you understand how bad that is. That's literally exactly what the answer is. Bakshori Isi Khorshiavan. I have seen people, right, the way that they've plowed iniquity, plowed sin, been involved with sin. Vizore Omo Yiktsuruhu. And they reap the seeds of all of their toil, of all the terrible things that they've done. That's what I've seen with my own eyes. Minishmas aloa yovedu. By the breath of God, they'll be destroyed. Meruach apo yichlu. They'll be consumed from the absolute anger that he goes through over here. So Chachamin in Bab Metzia say that the words chosen here by Eliphaz when he spoke to him is called onoas devarim. You got to tell Eiv that he did something wrong, not believing in God or not believing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, etc. But he said it in such a harsh fashion over here. You're a hypocrite. I can't believe you. What's wrong with you right now? Yes, there's a way of saying, like, Eiv, I don't necessarily agree with everything you're saying. And then there's a guy who's like yelling at him and saying, I can't believe you. This is over on Onos Devarin. That's what he said over here. Eiv was looking for this explanation, so to speak. And his friends were trying to give the explanation. What they should have said is something simple. You have to build up your emunah. You have to work on yourself. And they were his friends. They're not like people who just met the guy in his, you know, for the first time. But that's the idea behind it. Maybe they should have said, you know what? There might not be an explanation to this. And that already is an answer. But Eliphaz didn't feel like doing that. He said, it's a little bit, no,
yeah,
he wants it done.
Because Eov was being really dramatic.
Agreed. But Eliphaz should have understood in the position that Eov was in, with everything that just happened to him, he's allowed to be a little melodramatic. That should be allowed. You just lost all of your kids, all of your money. He's got Yisurin on his body. What was the sickness that we said he got? Sorry, we quoted it over here. I just forgot what it was. It's called, pemphigus. Pemphigus. P-E-M-P-H-I-G-U-S.
What is it in English?
So we said last week, an acute disease characterized by the formation of irregularly scattered, variously sized, round or oval blebs, from that of a small pea to that of a hen's egg, blisters or bullae, arising suddenly and unexpectedly from the skin, which is usually accompanied by constitutional disturbances, burning and pain, aches and pains in the bones and joints, lack of appetite, diarrhea, depression, and general malaise. It's fatal in 90% of cases. So that's the idea that he had over here. That's from a Dr. David I. Macht, who wrote a paper on Job's disease from Baltimore. So he wrote it together.
In Hebrew?
I don't know. Nothing. It was just a choldi that went throughout his entire body.
So
we don't have an actual.
How does he know that it was called that thing?
I think from the description. I don't know. I've never read the paper. I'm just going to. Rav Schwab quotes from the paper itself, but I'm not sure. But Shagas Aryeh Vekol Shachal. You have a roaring of a lion and the noise of a young lion. Ushneik Vishine Kifirim Nitau. Right? But the young lion cubs, their teeth, I guess you could say, Nitau. They have been misled over here. They have been astray from what it was. So the idea is, so let's see what he says over here. Right. He quotes the lion as like the beast of majesty and something like obviously David HaMelech and Shevet Yehuda refers to over here. But he said is that in his experience, the people who practice the wickedness and whatever it is, those are the ones who ended up not surviving, unfortunately. But the people who are the young lions, Nitou, they could be misled, but eventually they'll bring themselves back. Laish Oved, the full lion, the guy who starts acting that way, is lost me bleed tariff and he has no prey. Ubnei Lavi Yisparadu, and the children of the lion are able to disperse. So you just said to him, like, it's very difficult for it to be that you didn't do anything at all for this. Ve'elai davar yuganav. Now, I will tell you that a word came to me, a thought came to me, ganav, almost as if, like, it happened in stealth, in theft. I stole a word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vatikach Ozni, Shemetz Minehu, and my ear only took a little bit of it. Eliphaz is describing a nevuah. The kasha is, if Eliphaz is a non-Jew, was this a nevuah given to a non-Jew? The Gemara actually says that Eliphaz was one of six non-Jews to receive a prophetic vision. This Eliphaz, we don't know if this is Eliphaz, son of Esav, whatever it is. This seems to be that he was like, I got a vision. I got something while I was sitting here with you, and here was my vision. He says, "Bis'ipim mechazionos laila," in the different parts of the dreams I had at night, "binfol tardem al anoshim," when a deep slumber goes upon people, "pachad kro'oni," I was met with a fear, "ura'odon," trembling, "verovat mosai hifchid," many of my bones became very afraid. The Rambam learns from here that a regular Navi, not a Moshe Rabbeinu, but a regular Navi, often seized with trembling and whatever and stuff like that when he got his nevuah. The ruach al panai yachalof, there was like a spirit that came in front of my face. To samer saris bisari, it was as if it pricked the skin of my, the hairs goosebumps. Of my skin, but basically it's goosebumps, yeah. Yamod v'lo akir marehu, it stood still, but I couldn't really recognize it. Temuna l'negenenai, it was almost like a picture in front of my face. Demama, and it was very, very thin and quiet, v'kol eshma, but I heard a voice. Ha'enosh me'alo yitzdak, here's what I heard. Can a man be more righteous than a god? Can you think more than what God knows? Imaaseu yitargaver. Through his deeds, do you think he'll be meosehu yitargaver? Will a man be more tahor than his actual creator? So that's the idea behind it. Now, it's possible that Eliphaz was being a little bit humble when speaking of his nevuah, as if I don't deserve this vision. It could have been that he actually did hear nevuahs quite often. And that it seems more likely that this is really like a very, very low level of nevuah based on the chalom. Now, again, we dream about what happens during the day. The difference is, the Rambam says, is that a nevuah, you know it's a nevuah. You have no doubts whether it's a nevuah or not. A Navi knows what he's seeing. He might not see it clearly, and that's clear from Eliphaz, he didn't see it clearly, but he knows he's seeing something.
It's
yes,
interesting he goes through the detail of like of getting the nevuah to like almost qualify his...
To say his statement, right.
Yeah.
It's almost as if like he didn't start off with this. He's like going on and saying, I didn't want to tell you this, but if you got a nevuah... You got to say it. That's a good call, actually. Yeah, it is a little bit weird. You know, it's really, there's an unbelievable pasuk. It takes a lot of work. I know a couple answers to this, but just Yaakov Avinu talks to Rachel and Leah, calls them out to the field and says, I think we should go. Your father doesn't like me anymore. Lots of things have happened. And by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me in the dream of the night and told me to go. Okay? And then afterward, Rachel and Leah said, you know, you're right. Our father doesn't like us anymore either. It seems to be bad for us. And if Hashem told you to go, then go. It's almost like an afterthought. Like Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov to go, and he's like, as an afterthought, I'll go. And then Rachel and Leah are like that. So the Rishonim say that it's already like he was afraid that Rachel and Leah had that connection to their father. He didn't want to force them away from their father, so he explained the position, and then he explained that this is a nevuah. So even if you said no, we're going to have to go anyway. So he's like lightened the load for them, so it wouldn't just be like throwing it on them. And they said, no, we understand because we feel the same way. And of course, if our Kodesh Baruch Hu told you to go, it was as if that's one answer. But like, it's an interesting line. It seems to be over here as well. Hein ba'avada of Lo Yamin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't trust his servants. Uva malachav yasim tala. Even his malachim, he will place criticism if they don't do everything exactly as so. Af shochne bate chamer, this is in Yud Tes over here, even those who dwell in clay houses, or more so, those in clay houses, asher ba'afer yisodam, who come from the dirt, obviously us, yid'akum lifnei ash, he's going to pulverize and make them sit in front of the moths and the maggots and whatever it is he's going to knock down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has obviously, there's no perfection in the world, even by the malachim. And if even the malachim get musar in some way, shape, or form, whatever that means, then certainly human beings will get that as well. They'll be punished as well. Mi boker la'erev yukatu. From morning to evening, they'll be crushed. Mi b'li meisim lenetzach yovedu. Mi b'li meisim, they don't even think about it anymore. Lenetzach yovedu. And in the end, they're lost forever. Halunisa yisrum bum. Right? All of their greatness, right? And all of their advantages that they had, right? Yamusu, it's gone. Velo bechachma, they die without any wisdom, without anything that they're getting itself when it comes to over here. I forgot how it goes over here. He said something over here, right? We have a freedom of choice, right? Okay, that's something else regardless over here. Tahala also refers to some type of rebuke. I'll say, here we go. What does it mean by the malachim? He said, the ability of malachim to elevate themselves to higher and higher levels is hinted in Yeshaya and Yechezkel, where it says they have wings. The wings allow them to fly higher and to be able to get closer to the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though they are omdim, they're not able to progress the way that human beings can. They still have the ability to fly a little bit higher. And every Yom Kippur, they're judged if they remain in place or they get higher with the other malachim. Whatever that means. Krona. And this is, so that was the end of Perek Dalet. So that goes through regarding all that, right? Now, Eliphaz continues to speak to Eov, and he says the following. He said, let's say, right, you wanted to ask that question. What would happen? Krona, right? Call out to someone out there. Hayesh avoneka, do you think someone's going to answer you? Do you think you're chashuv enough to deserve an answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Valmimik doshim tifne. Who would you turn to among the holy malachim in the sky? What would you do? Hila evil yarig ka'osh. Because again, anger will kill the foolish man. Ufose tamis kina. And a person with jealousy will kill even the simple-minded, the biggest fools, the biggest idiots, right? They're going to go down. In other words, he says to Eov, he's like, you're getting angry. What's going to happen out of your anger? What are you gaining from that anger? You're you're jealous of other people and looking at what other people have, and you're like, why can't I be like them? What's the point? He said, listen, Eov. And his basic idea is, you sinned, accept it. Just accept the punishment, and that's that. He says over here, Posa is somebody, as opposed to the word Avil. Avil says that a person who is a confused person who cannot make up his mind. The word Avil comes from the word Ulai. The word Ulai means perhaps. Maybe I should go this, maybe you should that way. That guy is a person who has no clear convictions or anything like that. A posi, a pesi, is a guy who's easily influenced. A mefate is somebody who seduces other people. So when it comes to that, so he said, the description is, you're not really an evil. You weren't a person who was confused. You had your convictions. And you're also not a posa, right? You're not somebody who is easily convinced to do something, seduced to go somewhere or another. You are the one who was able to do that other people as well. He's basically telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these rules, and sometimes it works for people and sometimes it doesn't. For you right now, it hasn't worked because unfortunately you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So there's no reason to get angry about it. Yes?
Could it be that Eliphaz didn't understand the Nevuah properly?
Oh, for sure.
Because...
Yeah, well, what do you
first
think?
Of all, cause first of all, Eov has a response to all this.
Uh-huh.
So how would he have the response to a Nevuah?
Very good.
He disagree with it. And the other thing was...
Yeah, for sure, because it was unclear.
But
yeah.
The words, I mean, his whole point is, you must have sinned, and this is
yep.
a punishment. Whereas, I mean, really his point is, Ha'enosh me'alai yitzdak, meaning you can't, you know, God obviously has a master plan, but it's mm-hmm. not necessarily because of sinning. We can't know.
Right. In other words, that we have to just at one point say,
which
okay,
ultimately at the very end is like kind of like the...
Which is the answer of the whole sefer.
Right.
Right. And that is the real answer of the whole sefer, even though there are some answers that we do know. But yeah, the point of the sefer is to say, I don't know, maybe Eliphaz's response and what he was supposed to get out of this is, Eliphaz was supposed to say to him, listen, sometimes things happen and accept it, but sometimes it's just a test. I don't know. We'd have to know exactly what Eliphaz's Nevuah was, and we don't see it.
What do you mean, but sometimes it's just the test? Why isn't that the test?
Why isn't what the test?
That Eliphaz said.
So what Eliphaz was just doing is saying to Eov, you must have done something terribly wrong, and therefore you're deserving of this punishment.
Right.
We're saying at the end of the day, that's not what happened. Eov didn't have it. So how could that have been a Nevuah that Eliphaz saw? It's not true. So it must be
what
that Eliphaz did mess it up.
He said about it as a Nevuah?
Yeah, we just quoted it as a Nevuah.
Okay.
Right? So that's going to be hard. How did he do that? So look in Pasuk Dalet. Parakeh Pasuk Dalet. Rezi Ebel Mashrish. I have seen a fool taking root in the ground. The Ekov, right? And then I've seen curses. Naveu Pisom. In his house, suddenly. I've seen a person take root and try to flourish and try to do things or whatever. And then all of a sudden, everything's uprooted completely. Yerchaku Banav Miyesha. His children are so far from salvation. Daku, Bashar, Ve'ematzil. They're crushed at the gate and no one is able to save them. No one is able to come and help them. Asher Kitziro, right? They're harvest, whatever it is. Ra'ev, Yochel. A hungry person eats it instead of him. Ve'almitzinim, Yikachehu. And it's taken away from even the thorns. I guess the thorns took it over. Ve'shoft Samim, Chelam. And the thirsty people engulfed all they had, all of their wealth itself. I've seen this. I've seen the people who have taken root, who have tried to do things, and then all of a sudden other people take everything they have. Kilo yetze ma'afar oven. You know why? Because evil doesn't come out from the ground with you. This is the line that Eliphaz is saying. You're not born a sinner. You're not born with those sins. It's not there. It's not like it sprouts out that a person is automatically a sinner. Now, a timeout on that one. There are definitely people who are swayed, have tendencies to be certain ways more than others. Without a question.
Father.
We have a definition of that. That's interesting. Maybe that's good, because Eliphaz was trying to say even about his own father that even he could have been good. Even he could have done it. Even though he was born in such a way, all right, it must be like everybody was born equal in that way. Maybe that's what he was trying to say. That's a great call. I didn't even think of that, and he doesn't mention that over there, but that's an idea. It's just saying,
you don't even need to look that far back. You just look at little kids, and you see two kids who might be from the same home, and they might even be twins in the same age, and yet one can be, a lot more of a mischief maker, automatically getting into more trouble.
Yeah, but you see evil. That's a big difference.
The concept of being so different, even
okay.
if
no,
it's
I hear that.
The
nurture. No, you're 100%.
So you can
also
see.
Also depends on the birth order.
Oh, very good.
All these
in other words, Yemen is also saying there is a nurture aspect that might be lacking. Listen, I love all my kids, but some of the kids, my kids are different from one another.
Wait,
some of them,
this is on tape.
They all know this. Some of my kids right?
The oldest is the favorite. Okay, continue.
Well, Devorah, come on, she's Devorah. How can you not? Come on, I know. She's the best. But either way, regardless, there are certain ones that it's always going to be like you. There are certain kids that I can tell you about my wife. My wife will yell at one kid more than the other kids. Why? Because that kid grinds against, like, the one, he knows exactly what to do to get my wife upset. No, oh, I never yell at my kids. But if I would, right, I know which one I would yell at more. It just happens to be. So I think there is a nurture aspect even within that. And maybe Eliphaz is saying that. It's not born that way. Ki adam la amo yulad. You're born, and then you got to work hard. This world is not a vacation. Olam Haba is a vacation. That's what Olam Haba is. Once you get up there, it's automatic. You're going to have an awesome vacation. Grab one, Mick. Yeah, you'll get one. Ki lo adam la amo yulad. You're born in order to work hard. Ubenei reshef yagbiu of. And the sons of fire lift up their flight. They try to get out there. Now, this is the good line over here. Maybe you remember this line from Brachos. Anybody remember in Brachos? Benei reshef yagbiu of. They say Reshef is a reference to demons. Yagbiu Oph, that if you learn Torah, Oph is you fly in Torah, you'll be able to get rid of the B'nai Reshef, all of the evil out there. Reshef is the gematria of Seir, the gematria of Seir over there. Supposedly that's that connection to Esav and Tumah and whatever it is, 580 altogether.
Seirim,
right. That's supposed to be the evil of the demons or whatever it is. But B'nai Reshef Yagbiu Oph, right? You will get rid of it if you work hard. If you try flying away from it, you'll be able to get away from it. But that's the line over here. Ulam, Ani Adrosh Aleil. However, I am davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elohim Asim Devarasi, and I'm directing my words toward God. This is what Eliphaz is saying. Oseh Gedolos Vein Cheker. He does great things that you can never investigate. Niflos Adem Yispor. Wonders that are innumerable, that you cannot count over here. So he's looking at it and saying, look, I'm going to tell you something over here, and I'm going to direct this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I realize that he's done really bad things to you, but there still are some great things happening. Perhaps he's referring to Eov himself. Eov, you can still breathe. Eov, you're still alive. There are some great things. Granted, you've had some horrible things, but there are innumerable types of things that you can say. I know some matar al pnei aretz. Listen, he puts the rain upon the land. V'shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos. Water is sent upon the streets in order to water everything that's needed. L'sum shvalon l'marom. He allows the lowly to be lifted back up. The kodrim sagvu yesha. Even the people that are living in darkness are eventually able to reach the safety, the salvation that they need. Mefir machshavos arumim. He destroys the thoughts, the plans, the plots of those that are cunning and trying to go around. He's giving this idea to show that there has to be some type of Ashkacha Pratis Eov. There has to be something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing water and not only bringing on the land, but on certain streets and not on other streets. I still remember one of the best examples that I can think of in a long, long time is we were here last year. I don't remember the crazy storm in the summer last year. That crazy, like, hurricane storm that came through?
It was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago? Maybe, right. It might be right. So we were sitting there at Dairy Star, right? And we were just getting into the car when it started to, like, it was almost about to rain. So I was getting my kids inside. All the kids went in. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm just going to fold up the stroller. I fold up the stroller. As I'm doing that, it pours. I was soaked to the skin in 5 seconds. I threw the thing inside there, closed it up, went into the front seat, and I was soaked. And then afterward came the hail and whatever it was. And it only came through, like, the Lincolnwood section. It didn't come in by my house. My house, it was something, but it wasn't like that.
There were, like, trees that fell over.
Yeah, there were trees that fell over. Yeah, no question. But the main gust was, like, right there, where you saw the hail pieces coming down. It was the craziest thing in the world. And that it just showed me, like, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything at any time, and he specifically sent it right there. We tried getting through Lincolnwood after that. All the streets were blocked with trees. We couldn't get from one part to the other. You literally could not get out. We were stuck in a certain area until they could bring it out. But he does not allow whatever they want to do to actually happen. It doesn't happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thwarting their plans and making sure that it doesn't happen over there. That's the idea behind it. There's another line over here in which he says, I know some matar al pnei aretz, that somebody who is sitting there and is wondering how he's going to make it parnasa-wise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him to Shia. Lochid chachamim ba'arama, he traps the wise people, the people that think they're wise, with their own trickiness. Ba'atzas niftalim nimhara. And the Eitzah of the ones that are twisted, naftuli Hashem niftalti, right, he twisted around, etc., nimhara, became quick against them. Yomam yifag shuchayshech. During the day, right, all of a sudden they reach darkness. Something happens to them. The kalaylo yimashu batzarayim. And in night, somehow they find themselves moving around as if it's in the broad afternoon, in the daylight in the afternoon. By Yosha Echarami P.M., HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves people from the swords of their own mouths, stops them from saying things that he knows will not be good for them. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu slams shut your mouth before you say something that's just unbelievably stupid. If you can't give an example of that, right, you are not a human being. Right, but all of a sudden you were about to say something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure you did not say it out loud. Miad Chazok Evyon.
Some guy spoke up louder than you.
This is the obvious one. O Miad Chazok Evyon, and from the hands of a strong person, a mighty person, he helps the destitute, the one, Vatila Dal Tikva, and therefore there is hope, even for the lowly one. V'olasa Kapsa Pia. And in sin will end up closing its mouth, right? It'll end up being that he'll stop himself from anything out there. And he, Ashrei Enosh, therefore, he says, behold, happy is such a person. Notice he says the word Enosh. Enosh is from the word Anush, as in a sickly person, a person who is lower than everybody else. The reason why Enosh is being used for Adam Arishon's son, right, as opposed to Adam or Ish or whatever it is Enosh refers to a person who has already sinned. Enosh was the generation of after Adam Arishon where they all sinned with Avodah Zara, Enosh, a person even on that level, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, or that person should be happy. Yochichenu Aloha, when he gets muster from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Musar Shaddai Altimos, he should not, you know, despise the muster that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. Kiu Yachiv, V'yachbosh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give pain, but then he bandages it up. Yimchat, the other terpena, he bandages, right, he hits, I should say, and then he heals all of those wounds. Terpena from the word refuah. B'sheish tsaros yatzilecha. He will have six different pains in which he will save you. Uveshava, and in the seventh, lo yiga b'charo, he will not allow evil to happen to you. Maybe six times you might be hit, maybe the seventh time you won't be there. So there's two things over here. He said, this is where Schwab speaking, this is not me. I found with great consistency a klal gadol that if I want to say something and the person to whom I'm speaking does not hear me properly or is preoccupied while I'm talking to him and I have to repeat it, it's a sign to me there's something wrong with what I said or what I'm about to say. And usually, he said to him, this is just what he says. This is not a level that I'm on. I say something, the guy doesn't hear it, and I'm just like, I'll repeat it. But for Shabbi says, upon reflection, I find that indeed there was something wrong with what I was about to say. Similarly, if I'm having difficulties writing a letter, either become the ink becomes smudged or I make several mistakes in any correction, I reflect carefully on what I'm about to write, usually find that my anticipated words could be misunderstood and therefore I rephrase them. That is a level. Now, I will tell you another story. The Brisker Rav was one time, this Grizz, who was a Masada Kedushin at a wedding, and the man started to put a ring on the girl's finger, and went once and missed, and it fell to the ground. So he tried it again, and he missed the second time. He tried it a third time, and he missed. So the Grizz picked up his hand and held his hand as he put the ring on top of the finger. And when the Talmidim asked him later on, he said, Rebbe, wasn't that a simon ra, right, that he couldn't put the ring on the finger? Maybe that means that, you know, that wouldn't be a good shidduch. The Grizz said, no. Simply put.
It means that he was nervous.
Yeah, that's the basic idea.
I think I heard the same story with Ramosha Feinstein. And the answer was that everything is supposed to be in its proper time.
Oh, very good. And it wasn't yet the proper time. So you have to do it a little bit later. See, that's a little bit more deeper than what we're saying over here. The line that he's saying over here, sometimes you can be a Rav Schwab and you can understand that. Maybe it's not that he didn't say it. It's that he reflected upon it and said, maybe I can word this differently. Maybe the first time I said it was not the proper way of saying it. Maybe I could say it in a different way. Perhaps that's the way of doing it over here. I don't know, but that's that. Now, this is the line of 7 and 6 and 7 over here. We have a pasuk in Devarim. It's in the Tochacha. B'derech echad yetzu alecha v'shiver. This is in the Brachos, before the Tochacha. B'derech echad yetzu alecha. In one road, they're all going to come against your enemies. U'b'shiver drachem yenusa lefanecha. They'll run away in 7 different paths. So it's possible that the 7 over here, 6 times in this world, in the physicality of 6, which this world represents. Why 666? Christian world. But number 6 represents that, right? That refers to, for sure, that refers to something that's evil, etc. Actually, I think if I remember correctly, 666, 66 is Yavan, and 666 is Omdim Aleinu Lechaloseinu or something like that. It's something like that. I forgot what it is. It's a cute gemara. Anyway, but Lo Yigah B'Chol Ra, it won't let it happen. Barav Podchom Yomaves. Through that hunger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to redeem you from death. You might be hungry, but you won't die. The line is from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep on the 12 rocks. And what happens to the 12 rocks? Turn into one rock, but not one pillow. he still woke up with a crick in his neck. He still woke up with a horrible headache. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm okay with 12 rocks. Just make it into one pillow. That's all I needed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show him, I'm with you, but there's still going to be pain. But Rav, in the hunger, Padcham Yimavis, over Melchama, Midei Charev, you have to go to war, but you'll be saved from the sword. Bishot Lashon Techaveh, when the tongue whips out, when the tongue says something, you will be protected. Lotira Mishod Kiavo, you don't have to fear the robbery when it comes. Lashod Ulachafan Tiskach, you'll laugh when bad things happen, when there's hunger. You won't be afraid of those wild animals of the field over there. Kim avne hasad of risecha, because your bris will be with the avne hasad. Give me a second on that one. The chayes hasad hashlam alach, and even the wild animals of the field will make peace with you, and you won't have to worry about anything over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to save you from it. Okay, the Avnei HaSadeh is a really, really interesting thing. Now, clearly it's referring to not the stones of the field, because that's just weird. Why would the stones of the field make a bris with you? It's referring to some type of creature. The claim is from Medrash.
That's weird too.
It is weird.
So deal with the animals.
No, meaning it's as if the wild animals will not hurt you. So you're right. It's not a deal, right? But it won't be that the wild animals will come against you. That's an Yivachai Zasada. And the same way that every poetic license is like a double up of one thing to the other, like the next thing. V'yadati kishol malecha, you'll know that there's peace in your tent. Ufakadita novecha velosechata. Everything that happens in your abode, you will have no sin. There won't be anything that happens. It's like sort of the poetic license. It's the Avnei HaSadeh. So the Medrash says that the Avnei HaSadeh is the Adnei HaSadeh mentioned in the Mishnayis by Kilayim Perchas Mishnahei. What is the Adnei HaSadeh? Well, there's a weird Rash and Bartanura that says that it's this creature that looks like a human being that's attached by its belly button to a gourd in the ground. Now that's understood by those who go through the Midrashim. If there was such a creature, okay. If there wasn't such a creature, the point is that it's a prehistoric man-like creature. A humanoid type of creature that's attached to the dirt. Meaning is more physical than spiritual. Does not have Bechira like we do, does not have whatever. You want to call this an ape? An orangutan, a gorilla, a chimpanzee, you could call that. You want to call it like a Homo erectus, one of the prehistoric men that we see bones of? Maybe it's that. No, according to the explanation of the matter, it could be that there was something like this and we just don't know what it is, right? But if it is, it just means it was attached to the ground. It had dealings. It's a human-like being. Yes, like a caveman. Now, Rav Schwab has three different places where he talks about this. Three different places. One is in, and the biggest one is in Selected Writings. I don't think he quotes it over here. Selected Writings. He talks about Postscript, page 267, where he deals with this. It's a really, really good Rav Schwab. Really good one. But he said, this is a man who, they looked like men, walked upright like men, perhaps even talked like men, but they were merely highly intelligent animals. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't endow them with the Neshama.
They didn't exist 3,000
years ago. That's why I would think it would be more like an ape. You know, 50, like 000, an ape, yeah, whatever it was, right? It was going to be like that. He goes through, it's very possible some of them even alive today. Uncivilized tribes in the jungles or other remote areas of the world.
They're
stuff like that.
Genetically, they're human beings. Those people.
So that would be hard. He says over here, he says that they wouldn't be descendants of Adam or Isha. They would be highly developed animals who can be as dangerous as wild beasts. That's what he called them. So it wouldn't
so
be
it
the things that we go through there.
Some sort.
Yeah, it could be a Lucy, because Lucy, we would have the same DNA structure as what Lucy has.
Well, Lucy's different. It's genetically different than humans.
Definitely, but at least we're the most similar, so to speak. But let's call a Lucy an ape-like creature, right, in which it's more humanoid than ape, but this would be the Avnei HaSadeh in some way. Yeah. Neanderthal.
Huh?
Yeah, Neanderthal.
Yeah, Neanderthal.
Yeah.
I know, they died out 20,000 years ago.
Listen, this is the piece, Rav Schwab's article is How Old is the Universe? It is a really unbelievable. There's also gets into the whole dateline. Yeah. The 182
how
years.
How old is the world?
He personally thinks that the way that I've said to people before that I shouldn't say what he personally thinks. I shouldn't say that. One of the answers that he gives in this article is that the world is created with a history that we don't know about. We started from the first year when other nation was created, but what happened before that, we don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
so
we know
that's
it's
the idea.
Right,
at some point
at
before
some point.
That, but not necessarily the seconds or the millions of years before other nation was put into the world for
so
it to be there.
Days aren't actual days.
He goes through, he just says like the famous idea of like if other nation was killed on day one, he wouldn't look like a baby. He would have looked like a 20-year-old man. right? That's what he would have looked like. If right. you cut down a tree on the first day of creation, it wouldn't be. It would have rings in it because
right.
it was, you know, well, so that, so to speak, know. The world had mountains, you know, that were formed from, you know, different types of tectonic plates that were what, that
India
hit each other
into Asia,
years, whatever it is,
over millions of years, the Himalayas grew.
That's fine.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's what it's supposed to be.
No
yeah.
problem.
Is this
and
true?
I'm fine with that.
Years old.
But then
so
ultimately, you have
he,
to.
He doesn't go with that answer exactly. He just says our world
like,
starts from year one. So it doesn't matter. Whatever happened beforehand doesn't matter because our years start from year one. You know what I'm saying? Could the world be that way? Yeah. It could be that it all happened with the world that never existed. But whatever. This is one of those things.
Whatever happened.
5777.
There were animals created.
You know that
idea. No, I'm saying our years are Jewish
years. Yeah, Jewish years.
Who cares? What about the real world?
Oh, I mean, same thing. Same thing. Yeah. It's a really good article. It's a really good article.
Ultimately, Hashem created animals, right?
Of course. On the fifth and sixth. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But these
the
animals, some of them must have died out right away.
We don't know. I mean, these are the things that the Gemara Chayyuga says.
Fifth and sixth day
hold on. The Gemara Chayyuga says we don't ask questions about this because there's no way we're going to understand it. And
well,
meaning,
we don't
not
ask
understand
questions
it.
From beforehand.
Mala, 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 mala. There's a question of if that includes the 6 days of self.
Oh, okay.
We just don't understand what it is. We're not given enough information, and we're not given the clues that we need to be able to answer the questions correctly. So what are we going to do?
Biology book.
which
have,
is filled with kfira.
Let's
go. Let's see what we have. Regardless, this Avnei HaSadeh is amazing over here. Chav Dalet. V'yadata ki sholom alecho v'karetu nevecho v'lo sechato. V'yadata in chafei. V'yadata ki rav zarecho. And you will know that your children will be great because once you get to this point, v'tzatzecha kesev ha'aretz, and your offspring are like the grasses, the herbs of the ground. Tavo bekelach. You come into the grave, Eli cover. Come to the grave, Eli cover to the kever. The kelach, aged, kalos kadish bito, like a good sheaf of grain up in its time. In Ezos Kakarnua, we have checked that out and investigated it. Said Alifas, can he? We've seen that this is true. Shema, now we've heard it from others. Ve'atodaloch, and now you, Eov, just take it for yourself. Yes, things are. It'll all get good. So Enachanami, you've had a lot, Eov. Don't worry, it's going to get better. Now, to that, Eov looks at him, and he's almost like incredulous. Like, are you kidding me? Do you know what I just went through? He's like, you're telling me that sins happen, and therefore I get punished, and don't worry, everything's going to be okay. I don't think you understood what just happened. That's when he turns to Eliphaz. Vayan Eov Vayomar. Eov looks at him and says to him, Lu shakol yishakel ka'asi. I wish you could weigh my anger, v'havasi, and then my calmness, b'moznayim, on a scale, yisu yachad, and you're going to see that they're going to weigh together. I am not angrier than I've ever been before, and I'm not calmer. I'm sitting there, and I'm sort of like in between the two. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I really did think about this. This is not like me just saying, I'm not coming after my kids die, and all of a sudden I'm saying, here's what I think about God. I sat there, and I thought about this, and I thought about this, and I went through my deeds, and I found nothing wrong. I don't see anything I did. You're telling me I did something wrong. I don't think that this is coming from an emotional standpoint where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
We said that this is after, like right after Shiva, right?
Right, so to speak, like while, whatever it is. But like, he's been sitting there silent for 3 days. I've been thinking about this for a while. And he says, Ki ata mechol yamim yichbod. If you'd go through, it's going to be heavier than the sand of the sea. And therefore, my words have been subdued up until now. Like, I'm saying like this, I've been thinking about all this, and now I'm like almost like afflicted because I tried pouring out my heart to you to show you how much pain I'm in and how I can't understand what God is doing to me, and I can't understand it at all. And what's your answer? Your answer is, well, you sinned really badly. Like, that's not a friend. That's like my worst enemy that's talking to me. He says, Ki chitze shadayim adi. I don't think you understand that the arrows of God have been right up against me. Asher chamasim shosa. I've drunk their poison. It's like a tipped arrow with poison that's gone into my skin. I don't think you know how much pain I'm in, he's saying to him right now. Shosa ruchi. That's what my spirit is saying. Biusei Eloha yarchuni. It's the worst terrors that God could possibly think up are hitting me at all time. It's almost like hayinhak para ale desha. Is a wild donkey right going to bray if there's grass in front of him? Is the ox going to give over lull when it's sitting there with its actual feed mix? Would tasteless food be eaten if you didn't have salt? Is there any taste in saliva that somebody spat out from his mouth itself? Right? So, me'analin go'anafshi. My soul has refused to touch all this evil of the bad things that are out there. Hema kidvei rachmi. They're like the pain in my food. Up until this point, I never had any question and I've never had any problem of understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the world, because I saw, yes, there were things that bad that happened to everyone, even to me, and I understood it. I must have done something wrong. I've seen it happen to other people and I've understood it. It must be that they did something wrong. I've never had any problem. When I have reason to believe, like, in other words, like a trough in front of me, things that make sense, then I understood it. Things were good. But I'm no longer in that position. This is not fair. This is absolutely not fair. You cannot tell me. It intensifies my complaint. I am positive I'm being attacked over here. I am positive this isn't fair. That's what I'm trying to tell you over here. He says, "Mi itein tavo shalasi. If only my request would come true, v'tikvasi itein aloka, and my hope would be given by God. What do I really hope for? V'yola aloka v'yad ke'eni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should agree and crush me. Kill me. Kill me now," he says. Yater Yado, release his hand from you, Yatzeni. It's as if Eve knew that Satan was told, the Malach Mavis was told, you can do everything to him, but don't kill him. That was the line that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used. And now he's like, release your hands from me. Let me be killed, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm beyond this world in which I'm not going to get it anymore. I have no reason to be here. Literally nothing for me to be here for, because of everything that happened to him before. His kid's dying, is losing all his money, everything else that happened to him up until now, meaning everything's gone, and the huge, huge sicknesses that he's under, and the terrible pain. We see Od Nechamasi, he says, this would be my comfort. Vasalda Bechilo, I am terrified, absolutely scalded with terror. Lo Yachmol, right, where there's no mercy. Kilo Kechadati Imre Kodesh. I'm my only comfort is that up until now, I have not said anything about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I've said little things here and there, but I have not really gone up against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I haven't. I haven't said anything, right? But I'm hoping that I die before I fully blaspheme. Yes, I've said that I don't believe there's Hashkacha Pratis. I think I have good reason for saying that. But I've not yet denied God's existence. I agree that there is a God. I just don't think that he's treated me fairly. That's the line that Eov is saying over here. I hope I die before that happens to me. Ma kochi ki ayachel. But what strength do I have that I should hope for? O ma kitzi, what is my end, ki arech nafshi, that my life is like lengthening to? What is the point? In koach avanim kochi, do I have the strength of a stone that doesn't move and it just is what it is? In bisari nachush, is my flesh made of copper that it can't be hurt? He says, Aim ein ezrasi bi, is there no one out there to be able to help within me? Vitushia nidach mimeni, it seems like all type of salvation, anything that could possibly happen that's good, is gone from me. Lamos mereihu chosed. So he says over here, there's in Pasuk Yedalit, right? One who is going to death, going to die. What does he expect from his friends? All he wants from them is kindness. V'yuras shadai yazov, even if he's about to forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now he turns back to Eliphaz and he lets him have it. He looks at Eliphaz and says, what did I want from you? I just wanted you to be empathetic. I wanted you to nod your head and say, yeah, I get it. I get it. You've been through a lot. I don't know how to answer it. That's what I wanted from you. And what do you say? You're like, yeah, you must have been really evil. You know me. If my best friend is telling me that I'm evil, then I don't know what to hope for over here. But now I'm like completely gone. I really do not understand what in the world I'm supposed to expect from anyone anymore. Achai Bogdu, my brothers have betrayed me, kimo nachal, as if it's like a river, a torrential river coming up against me. Ka'afik nacholim yavoru. It's as if the riverbeds, right, are now dry because they've just poured out against me. Hakodim inikarach, those riverbeds that were black with ice, alemo yisalam shalig, upon them, right, even the snow is completely in. Be'es yizorvu nitzmasu. When that melting season comes, all of a sudden they become solidified. Meaning, no matter what happens with the river, no matter how the river pours out, no matter how crazy the river is and torrential, at some point it should freeze over. Bechumo, and then when the heat comes along, right, nidachumim kolmo, then all of a sudden they're able to come back to its regular place and everything goes back normal. Yulafsu orchos darkam, right, the pathways of the roads become a little bit twisted because everything changes over the winter. Yalu batov veyovedu, right, they rise up into nothingness and all of a sudden they're gone. So the line over here is going to be like, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, it seems as if the soul has a certain direction in this world. Things are whatever. It's going crazy and whatever. And then all of a sudden, everything's lost. Everything's gone. It's like a disappointment that, like, I'm expecting something from you and I get nothing. I'm getting literally absolutely nothing. Hibitu Archos Tema. They look for those roads to Tema. Halichos. And Halichos Shvad, going over to Shvad. Kivulamo. They're hoping for it. They were hoping for something great over here. Boshu Kivotach. They were disappointed. because they were assured something would be there. But bo'adah bayachbaru, they came to it and they were absolutely ashamed. And that's what I had when I came to you guys asking for a little bit of help. As a side over here, there is some a lot of big things that he says over here. The line over here in which he says lamas mareu chesed, we learn from that line that if you hold back, withhold from your friend chesed, you are punished. And the line that they learn it from the story that we have in Tanakh, is from Yaakov holding back Dina from Esav. The question you ask is, wouldn't you have held back your daughter from marrying a person like Esav? Esav was known as being a rapist, a murderer, a thief. Wouldn't you have held back your daughter over here? So the line that this is said from Rav Simcha Zissel Ziv of the Kelm School of Musar says the reason why it's, yes, of course, you should come up with the answer that no, you don't want your daughter to marry Esav. But there should have been a thought process behind it. Yaakov shouldn't have immediately closed up Dina in a box, so to speak, and threw her away from Esav so that Esav couldn't see her. The concept is that he should have thought about it and said, can Dina do any good? And then have that conversation with himself. If Dina could do good, do I want her to be... He should have had the conversation. Yaakov, on his level, taking Dina and immediately throwing her away so that she can't help Esav, right, is considered wrong in the sense that lamas mareu avad. If you feel at the end of thinking it through and you say, I'm weighing out the options and I'm looking at the options and I'm saying, yes, she could do a lot of good, but I don't think this is the right thing. And you come up with that answer, fine, that's your answer.
Right.
That's fine. I mean, but then, yeah.
It makes sense. Okay, maybe your thought should have entered your mind, but you shouldn't have done it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, are you supposed to think like, maybe I'll go to the prisons and see if there's a guy for my daughter because, like, you know, maybe she could do good for him.
If the guy in the prison is your brother, marrying nephews and nieces, maybe. That would be the example where you know the person. The person's a really good person, right? But you know there's issues with that guy. Should you reject the shidduch outright, we'll say? Or should you say to yourself, let me think about it. I'll consider it. Let me think. Maybe this is a good situation because the guy is trying to improve. And then you think about it. If at the end of the day you say no, you're allowed to say no. And that's what we're saying about Yaakov. He was allowed to say no, but he should have thought about it. I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah. I noticed that.
My daughter marrying who? I'm joking. Yes, go ahead.
In order to make it easier to, take in, it's like, not necessarily that you need to consider weighing it out, mm-hmm. but that you need to have the thought of, I care for my brother, I want to help him, oh, Dina's not going to work. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, yeah.
But the fact that you have that...
Yeah, just the thought process of going through. This is a really good one. I feel that that's a good answer. A good answer, at least, as to why he was punished for it. What did he do wrong over here? Okay, so now we're going to have to finish this off again. He's going over and he's still knocking them down. He says, Ki ato hayisem lo tiru charzgim. Because now, ato hayisem, this is exactly what you just did. I think I'm saying it wrong. Ki ato hayisem lo. Because now you became exactly what I didn't want you to do. Tiru chatos, you saw the terror, batiro, and you became afraid. Hach yamarti, did I say, havuli, give me help? Did I ever ask you guys for help? O mikol chacham shichadu badi, did I ask for a bribe, for something from you guys in order to help me on my behalf? O maltumi yatzor, did I ask you to save me from an enemy? O miyadaritzim tivduni, that you should redeem me from somebody who's oppressing me? Ho runi, show me what I did wrong, Bani Acharish, then I'll be silent. Just tell me what I did. Tell me anything that I did. I'll be silent, says Eov. Oma Shagisi Avinuli, what did I do wrong? Tell me. Now, in the Gemara, in Brachos, Rav Huna actually had this happen. Rav Huna had 400 of his barrels of wine go bad. What time is it, by the way? Just quick.
Seven?
Eight. Okay, so the eight. Okay. So this happened. 400 barrels of wine went bad. So the Chamim came to go visit him, because apparently there was a huge loss of money. And Rav Huna said to them, he couldn't understand how it could have happened. To which the Rabbanan said to him, well, obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu did something. Can you think of something you did wrong? So Rav Huna said, tell me if you know something. And they did. They said, well, you had an aris, right? And you kept the branches. You withheld the branches from your sharecropper. The sharecropper is supposed to keep the branches, right? And you held back the branches from the sharecropper. He said, I was allowed to. He stole stuff from me. So I tried to take Avedinish Dinlan Afshay. I knew I was owed money, so I kept the branches. They said to him, that's what they say, Basar Ganva Ganuf. After a guy steals from you, you steal back. Right? So whether or not he was allowed to do it, on Rav Huna's level, he shouldn't have done it. So Rav Huna said, you're right, I'll give him the branches back. And then the Gemara says, either the vinegar turned back into wine or the price of vinegar went up so that it became the same as what wine was, so he didn't lose out on any money over there. Something like that happened and it went through there. But the line is that He's saying, what did I do wrong? Tell me. That's what Rav Huna did. And really, he was saying, tell me what I did. Ma nimritsu ima yosher. What do you think?
Like
I'm sorry, what, that we're willing to tell you that?
They could tell me what it is. And yeah. Then, boom.
Eliphaz didn't do it. Unfortunately, Eliphaz didn't do it. Ma nimritsu ima yosher. How affected would it be if you gave me straight words, if everybody talks straight? There's a commercial like that nowadays, isn't that? Like, straight if only everybody said everything exactly what they mean or something. Ma yochiach, okay, I heard it on the radio at least like 100 times on ESPN Radio. Welcome to the 3 weeks. Ma yochiach. And do you consider the what have any of your arguments have done for me? Anything you've said to me, what is it? Halochach milim, milim takshovu. Are you just trying to reprove me with words? You're just trying to anger me? Are you trying to the spirit of a person who's speaking out hopeless words? Are you trying to just, you know, speak to somebody? What do you want? Afal yasom tapilu. Would you even do that to an orphan? V'tikru al reyachem, and dig a pit for your friend? Like your friend's dying, and you're like, oh, I'll dig your pit for you. Is that what you would do? Is that what you're willing to do? V'ata ho'ilu p'nu bi. Now, if you please, turn to me. V'al p'neichem imachazev. Would I deceive you in front of your face? Turn to me. Let me speak to you face to face. Shuvu no. Sit down, please, and return. Al ti'avla. Don't think that there's anything wrong here. V'shvu od tzidki ba. All right, and return again. Think of the righteousness of what I've just said, and think about what I've gone through, and just sit there, say to yourself, did I really deserve this? I want you to look at me, and Eve is looking at his friends and saying, listen, we were silent before. I want you to sit again and say to yourselves, am I really deserving of what you just said to me? Hine, hayesh b'lashoni avla, is there anything wrong with what I said? Imchiki lo yavin havois, right? Has my palate not understood something that is absolutely destructive? Is there something that I'm missing in which he's going through? And he's saying, is there anything I can change your mind on? Is there something over here? That's the idea. Now, Eve is going to give his second line, right? His second line to Eliphaz and explain to him what he feels that Eve did wrong over here. But he's now going to give a big line back to Eve, in which he's now going, unfortunately, to deny God's existence altogether. Now he's just put to the task, and he's going to say a line that's a little bit much. And then Bildad gets up instead. Eliphaz doesn't speak for a few more prakim, but Bildad's going to get up and say, whoa, you've gone too far. Okay, we'll stop with this guy. We're on Perek Zion.